Okay, we're starting here on the top of Nun Chedem and Aleph. Gemara is continuing to discuss here relative to Bavel. We saw yesterday at the end of the daf with regards to making brachot in Bavel because of the number of things that took place, the destruction of Bavel, destruction of Buchanetzar, so on and so forth. So here the Gemara continues with that theme and says, Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah ben Elazar, Nitkalala Bavel, Nitkalalu Shechena. When Bavel was cursed, its neighbors were also cursed. Nitkalala Shomron, on the other hand, curse of Sharon, nit barchu shcheneha. Its neighbors benefited from that. Nit kalala bavel, nit kalalu shcheneha. Let's explain that. Is dichtiv, because the pasuk says, vissamtia, the murash kipod, the agme mayim. I'm going to make bavel into, I don't know if the word sanctuary, a place where the kipod, literal translation is the bitter, and Rashi says it's chayot v'ofot ra'im, wild animals, birds. It's become a place of desolation where the animals are going to roam. Agmeimayim and water. Shechena is because now they have all these wild animals that are adjacent to them because of what happened to Bavel. On the other hand, when Micha speaks about the curse that Hashem places on the Shomron, that he's going to destroy the Shomron, there it says, Nitkala Shomron nitbarchu shechena dechdei v'samti Shomron li'i asadeh l'matei charem. I'm going to make Shomron into a heap of fields, into wild vineyards. So the neighbors benefit from the fact that there are these fields and vineyards next to it. They don't have all these wild animals next to it. Someone who sees a multitude of Israel. Rashi over here mentions that it has to be 600,000, which the Gemara will qualify later. Omer Baruch Hacham Harazim. The bracha is Hacham Harazim, the one who is wise to all secrets, meaning that, and the Gemara will explain this later, that each individual is unique, and Hashem knows all of them. Uchlusei Ovdei Kuchavim. On the other hand, he sees multitudes of non-Jews. Omer Busha Imechem. Here it's talking about Latid Devo. Yirmiyah says that your mother should be embarrassed. Chofra, Yom Adatcha. You should be shamed at the day of your birth because all of them are going to be thrown out of their lands, dispersed because of that which they did. The idea being Latid Devo, Busha Imechem, that your behavior, the way that you conduct yourself, they should be embarrassed. Tan Rabbanan. Aroech Lusei Yisrael Omer Baruch HaChama Razim. She'ein Dam Tam Dome Zelazeh. Because no two people are alike. No two people look the same. Zoma ra'a uchusa agav maleh harabait. Ben Zoma saw a large multitude of Klal Yisrael on a stair on harabait. Amar, so he made a bracha, baruch hachama razim. And number two is, ubaruch shebra kol eglu disham sheni. Baruch that Hashem created all of these to serve me. The Gemara will continue with that in 1 second. I just want to take a little moment here and just think about Ben Zoma. Ben Zoma is a contemporary of Rabbi Akiva, younger than Rabbi Akiva. Ben Azai, Ben Zoma, Rabbi Akiva, those are part of the Arba and Nichnasu the Pardes. The difficulty with that is that we know Rabbi Akiva lives through the Churban HaBayit. And in living through the Churban HaBayit, it means Ben Zoma, who lives during Hadrianic persecutions when Rabbi Akiva is killed, which is around the year 130, is way after the Churban HaBayit. And Ben Zoma here is testifying to the fact that he sees a large population of Bnei Israel sitting on Har HaBayit. It's one of the rayot that are brought by some of the ascension of people to Har HaBayit even after the Churban HaBayit because of this story here of Ben Zoma. It would be hard to indicate that Ben Zoma was alive during the Churban. He would have to be very young.
What's Har HaBayit?
It's the same one that they had. It's the Herodian
platform.
Yeah, but it's the Herodian platform. It's not about these in a Maleh Behar Habayit. It's inside the walls, the Herodian walls. I'm just pointing it out, just based on when Ben Zoma lived, it sounds like people were on Har HaBayit even post Korban. This is before Har HaBayit is plowed over. In the one of the five things that we talk about on Tisha B'Av is that Zion Sadeh Techerash. Later on, Har HaBayit is plowed over when the Romans want to make sure that there's no more revolts after the Bar Kokhba revolt. They plow over Har HaBayit. So this would be before that point in time, but still means that people were on Har HaBayit. It's just interesting to know. Right now, he said, the second bracha, he says, Baruch Shebra Oledo Desham Sheni. Strange, is Yoya Omer. How many Giyot Yaga Adam Rishon? How hard did Adam Rishon have to work at Shematzah Pat Echol? Until he found bread to eat. So here is an introduction to Shabbat. We're going to go through all the melachot of making pat, which is charash, plowed, visera, he planted, v'katzar, he harvested, v'amar, made piles, v'dash, he threshed, zera, and he winnowed, birer, he separated out, v'tachan, and he ground, he milled, v'irkid, and then he did harkada, was another sifting process, v'lash, then he had to knead, v'afa, and then he baked it. In the whole process of making bread was significant. And then only then was he able to eat bread. I get up in the morning. I get up in the morning and there's all this bread in the bakeries, in the market. How hard did Adam Arishon have to work until he had a clothing to wear? Gazaz, he had to shear the bane, he had to whiten, bleach, nafats, he had to comb, tava, spun, varag, and then weaved, vachakach matzabeg, and then only after that did he have a piece of clothing, lobosh, to wear. Vani mashkim umutza kol edu mitukanim lefanai. I have all this ready for me. Kol umenuyot shoktot ubot apetach beiti. All the craftsmen, artisans come to the door of my house and they're selling their wares. And I find all of them in front of me. Now, it's not clear from the statement whether because he was a Talmud Chacham, therefore he was entitled to all of this from the people. I'm not sure that's what he's saying over here. I think he's just saying that he doesn't have to personally do all of this effort. There are others who are making that effort, and he's able to purchase it and with ease, and therefore put his time into learning of Torah instead of having to make all of this effort to produce that which is there. And that's what he's saying. Baruch Shpor Galeidu L'Sham Sheni. Is that other people are doing the work, and therefore I'm able to save myself all that time and just buy the finished product. Hu haya omer, ureach tov mahu omer, a good guest. What does he say? Kama terchot tarach balabayit, how hard did this host work for me bishvili? Kama basar hevi lefanai, how much meat did he present before me? Kama yayin hevi lefanai, how much wine did he bring for me to drink? Kama guska ot hevi lefanai, how many delicacies, cakes did he bring before me? V'chol mesha tarach lo tarach ala bishvili. Put all this effort in just for me. Aval reach ra ma omer, a bad guess. What does he say? Ma tarach tarach bala bayit zeh. And what did he do for me? Parachat achalte, ate one loaf of bread. Chaticha achat achalte, ate one piece of meat. Kosachat shatite, drank one cup of wine. Meaning, he didn't have to put any extra effort in for me. I barely ate anything. Kol tarach shatarach bala bayit zeh. Any effort that he put in, lo tarach lo b'shvil ishto banav. He had to do it anyway for his kids, for his wife. So anyway, a little extra for me? What's the big deal? So al reach tov ma omer, and a good guess, what does it say? It's a pasuk from Yov, Zichor ki tazgi pa'alo asher shoruru anashim. So remember, ki tazgi, that aggrandized was great, pa'alo, his actions were great, asher shoruru anashim, that either the word shur could be to see, or shoruru means to sing. People sing about it. So the idea being that you aggrandize the actions of the Balabait, even though he only fed you a small amount, nevertheless you assign all the effort that he put in and sing the praises of the Balabait. So the same idea that's being Yov talking about the Maise Hashem over there. Actions of Hashem that people sing about. Areach Raktiv, on a bad guess it says, Lachain Yere Uhu Anashim. People will fear him. And then it says, continuing on, because no Chacham is significant in front of him. And again, it's referring to Hashem here. People will be fearful of him because no chacham can stand up to him, can be next to him. The Gemara is playing on lachein yireuhu anashim. People will be fearful of him. People will not want to associate with him because nobody's a chacham, meaning that this person doesn't assign credit to anyone else. And they're not assigning credit to him. They're going to be fearful of him. They're not going to want him. They're not going to want somebody like that near them because he doesn't acknowledge the effort that is placed or done on his behalf. Vaish bimei she'ol zaken baba anashim. This is referring to, as the Gemara is going to say in 1 second, Ishai ben David. It says that David was born to an Isha Frati, and there was this man, bimei she'ol zaken baba anashim. He was older, and he was amongst the people. Amarav avitemer of Zvid, avitemer of Oshaya, ze Ishai avit David. This is referring to Ishai, David's father. V'shiyatza b'lechlusa, v'nechnas b'lechlusa. He went in with the people, came out with the people, darash b'lechlusa, and it was doresh amongst the people. Idea meaning that he was a part of the people. He was a regular man, regular person within the people. I mean, it sounds here as Doresh, but that there wasn't anything that made him stand out from the others that were there. He joined the ranks of the people. Amar Ula, Nakatinan en Uchlusa b'Bavel. There is no such thing as an Uchlusa in Bavel. Multitudes of Klal Yisrael in Bavel. And then, Tana en Uchlusa p'chuta mishishim ribo. That's what I said before. Rashi comments brings it with the Gemara's going to say later on, that a multitude of Israel cannot be less than 600,000. And the second statement is that there is no chlusa in Bavel. You could understand it, which probably is not the pshat here, that Bavel does not have the 600,000, which doesn't make so much sense because we know that the population of Bavel exceeded that of Eretz Israel. That's probably not the explanation. Probably the explanation is along the lines of the Gemara and Horiot. When you have Bnei Israel and Eretz Israel are called Kahal Israel, when they're outside of Eretz Israel, they're not called Kal Israel. They don't have a designation or a significance of Kal Israel. outside of Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, there's inuchlusa b'Bavel. We don't make that bracha of the multitudes of Klal Yisrael in Bavel, either because they're not called multitudes of Yisrael, because they're outside of Eretz Yisrael. Could argue because they're in Galut. That means that there's a dispersion. We don't see them as a unit anymore. There are many ways to interpret it, but obviously the significance of Klal Yisrael outside of Eretz Yisrael is diminished significantly compared to their significance within Eretz Yisrael. All right, Tanu Rabanan, Re'eh Chochmei Yisrael, someone who sees Chachamim of Klal Yisrael, Me'er Baruch Shechalak Mi Chachmato Le'Re'av. Blessed be the one who gave of his Chochmah to those that fear him. Chochmei Obdei Kochavim Omer, the one who sees the wise amongst the non-Jews, Omer Baruch Shnatan Mi Chachmato. The Gerson Argumar is Lebri Otav. You can see here that the Gro has an Ot here, which says Lebasar V'dam. It gave from his Chochmah to human beings. The contrast is clear, which is that first of all, there is an acknowledgement that there is Chochmah B'Goyim. Very important that there isn't just Chochmah B'Yisrael, there is Chochmah B'Goyim. But the bracha is differentiated, meaning that the Chochmah that we see amongst the Jews, we look at as a derivative of Chochmah Hashem, whereas the Chochmah amongst the Goyim, we be seeing it as being something that is driven by the human side, not by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Obviously, Hashem gives both of those, but the connection or the use of that wisdom for purposes of drawing close to Hashem and plumbing the depths of Torah make different the bracha that we're going to make on it. I'm assuming that if someone sees a Jewish Nobel laureate, that the bracha might be Shenatan Mechachmato Lebriotav. I'm not sure which, if you'd make the bracha of Shechalak Shechilek Mechachmato Lereyav, because I think it might be referring specifically to Talmidei Chachamim and those that use that wisdom within Torah. Rehem Balchei Yisrael Omer, Baruch Shechalach Mechvodo Le'Re'av. So Hashem who gives of his kavod to those that fear him, portion of his honor to those that fear him. Achei Obdei Kochavim, whether it's not Jewish kings, Baruch Shenatan Mechvodo Le'Briotav. Again, the Gra changes the gears of the Basar V'Dam. And the same contrast over here, where the kavod Melachim in the Jews is connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whereas the kavod Melachim in the non-Jews is not. So I'm Rabbi Yochanan, the Olam Yishtadel Adam Larutz Likrat Malchei Yisrael, Likrat Malchei Yisrael Bilvad. Person should always run to see the royalty of Klal Yisrael, not just the royalty of Klal Yisrael, but even Afilu Krat Machay Obdei Kochavim, even the royalty of the non-Jews. We've seen this twice before in the Masechet, back on Tet and Yutet. Over there, Rabbi Yochanan describes how they used to be skipping over the Kvarim in order to go see the Melachim, to see the kings. Shimi Yitzke Yavchin Ben Machay Yisrael Machay Obdei Kochavim, because if one is Zuche, he will able to differentiate and see this difference between the Machay Yisrael Machay Obdei Kochavim. So Rashi explains this is Latid Lavo. In the future, Lolam Abba, V'yireh B'Chvod Melach HaMashiach, he'll see the Chvod Melach HaMashiach, Yavchin, Kama yeter kavod notlim, skar mitzvot yoter mimashaya kavod ha'umot v'olam hazeh. Those that do mitzvot, their kavod, their honor will far exceed the honor granted to the royalty of the non-Jews today. So there was an imbalance already where the royalty of, or the honor of the royalty of the non-Jews far exceeded that of the royalty of the Jewish kings. And so you should use that as your benchmark for latid lavot, to see that those that do the mitzvot will far exceed the honor given to the royalty of the non-Jews. But also the switch, that the royalty of the Jews will also, even though in this world their honor is diminished, in comparison, in the world to come, their honor will exceed that of the non-Jewish kings. Just to note that Rashi calls La'om Abba and Yemot HaMashiach the same thing. He does not separate between them. That's unlike some other Rishonim who think that Olam Abba and Mashiach, or Yemot HaMashiach are two separate time periods. Rashi says the Olam Abba, you will see Melech HaMashiach. Seems to indicate Rashi sees them as a single period or a single time. Rav Sheshet Zagid Nor Hava, Rav Sheshet was blind. Everybody was going to greet the king. There was a king approaching, and everybody was going to greet to see the royal procession. Rav Sheshet followed along with the throngs to go see the king. Ashkei O Tztuki, on his way, Tztuki bumps into it. Amalei, Chatzvei Lenaro Gane Layo. Says, I don't understand. Pitchers, they go in the river. Those are whole pitchers that go in the river. They can draw water. But kigane layo, on the other hand, broken shards, what's the point of taking broken shards to the river? They don't draw any water. The same being true here, he says, of Rav Sheshet. Says, people can see. Makes sense that they're running to go see the king. You can't see. Why bother going to see the king? Let's go. We'll go together and I'll show you that I know more than you. Chalav gunda kamaita. The first procession, the first troop passes by. All of a sudden the people started to scream and talk. The king must be coming now. Everybody's excited. Everything's going on. He says, He's the king's not here yet. Chalav bunda tinyano. The second troop procession passes by. Kegaavsho. Again, people start to shout. The throngs got excited. Amalei haudstuki. Ashtakati malko. The king must be coming now. Amalei sheshet logati. The king's not coming yet. Chalav tlitai. The third procession or troop comes by. Kikashatka. Everybody went silent. Amalei sheshet. Vadei hashtakati malko. The king's coming now. So Amalei haudstuki. Minalacha. How do you know that? How did you know that the silence was the indication of the king coming and not the throngs and the noise? Because the royalty below mimics or is a derivative of royalty in Shemayim. And we know about royalty in Shemayim, the Chtiv. It says about Eliyahu Navi when he has the revelation on Har Sinai in the desert when he goes out and Hashem appears to him. It says, V'amarta b'har lifnei Hashem. Stand on that mountain before Hashem. V'nei Hashem over. Hashem is passing by. V'ruach gedola v'chazak mifarei karim u'shaber tzaliim et lifnei Hashem. And there's a huge wind, strong, that breaks mountains, shatters rocks that come before Hashem. But lo v'ruach Hashem. Hashem's not in that wind, that storm. V'achar ruach rash. And after the wind comes, a large noise or an earthquake. Lo b'rash Hashem. But Hashem's not in that. V'achar rash esh. And after that comes a fire. But Hashem's not in the fire. After the fire comes, a very whisper, soft voice. And that is where Hashem was. So he says that just like when Hashem appeared, he came in a quiet manner after all the pomp and circumstance that preceded him, the same thing with the king. The king, all the pomp and circumstance precedes the king. When it gets silent, that means the king is there. When the king came, Patach Rav Sheshet become a varech lei. She should open up and made a bracha, the bracha that we saw before. She natan mikvodo the basar v'dam. Amalei haot stuki the man the lo chazit lei kamevarecht. If you can't see, why are you making a bracha? Omai havi alei the haot stuki. So what happened to that stuki who was poking fun of Rav Sheshet? Igadamri chavruhi kachlinu leenei mida keneged mida. That he was nitpas, and his friends, I don't know how good these friends were, they gorged out his eyes, that he became blind as well, like Rav Sheshet. V'ikadamre, Rav Sheshet, natan enav bo, v'naseh gal shel atzamot. Rav Sheshet took one look at him, and he turned into a pile of bones. That is said about other people as well, Rav Shimon bar Yochai, in the story of the cave in Shabbat, which we'll get to. Over there, the person who was malshin on him, was alive afterwards. Rabbi Shimon says, I can't believe this guy's still alive. He took one look at him, he turns into a pile of bones. Rabbi Yochanan also, story of Rabbi Yochanan, that he took one look, one of his Talmidim turned into a pile of bones in the Gemara in Sanhedrin in Perka Chelek, because he had questioned what Hashem could do. They have these ideas, whether you take it literally or not, is questionable, but the idea being that their look at them meant that they were done. I can say this always, that Gemaras were heavily redacted, censored, and many times the word stuki is placed in the Gemara, and we don't know what was there beforehand. It's not clear what was there beforehand. You could try to get some of the older girsot and find them, see what was there. Sometimes we don't even know. The term that would have been used was a min, which usually referred to the early Christians. I can't tell you. Every time you have this in the Gemara with stuki, you have to question whether it's the real term that's being used here, especially in this context, because when they censored it, they took out the word min, they took out those words. Rav Shila nagde la'u gavra. Shila gave malkot, whipped this individual, the Baal Mitzrit, but slept with an Egyptian woman. Azal achal bei kurtze bei malko. This is a expression, a euphemism. He went and ate with the royalty, but Achav Bei Kurtze means that he ate and he winked. He basically was malshin. He went to the authorities and said that Rav Shila is practicing or adjudicating without permission from the king. Amar Ikachad Gavru Yudai, there's one Jew, the Kadayin Dino, he's adjudicating, he is carrying out executions below Harmana de Malka without the permission of the king. He doesn't have authority being granted by the king. That's in Bavel. So here we're talking about the Romans, where they didn't have religious autonomy. In Bavel, they did have a certain amount of religious autonomy. So Shadar Alei Priskita. So they sent an official to messenger official. Ki at Amrilei, Maitame Nagante, why did you whip? Why did you give lashes to this individual? Amlu, the Baal Hamarta. Because he slept with the donkey. Samalei, Itlach Sade? So do you have witnesses to this? Amluin? Yeah, sure. At Eliyahu. Eliyahu shows up, appeared like an individual, a man, but Asid, And he gave testimony to this. Wait, bestiality? Forget about whipping him. He should have been put to death. Anan miyoma de galinin ma'arin leitlan reshuto the miktal. Says, you know, I would have done it, but since we've been put into exile, capital punishment has been taken away from us. We don't execute capital punishment anymore. The truth is that corporal punishment is also a little bit questionable. Capital punishment, at least, we don't execute. You guys can do what you like. You know, I didn't want to step on your toes, but you guys should do whatever you want. So, until he looked into the matter, he was looking into the matter to see if they could get this guy executed. Patach Rav Shila began to say, V'amar lecha Hashem Agdula V'agvura. Hashem, you have the Gdula Gvura because he had taken care of him, meaning that he had sent Eliyahu Navi down to take care of him. Amalei, my kamart. He said, what did you just say? The Priskada, this Roman official, overheard him and said, wait, what did you say? So Amalei, Achi Kamina. That's what I said. Brich Ruchmana. Said, blessed be Hashem. Diyayiv Machuta Ba'ara Kein Machuta Drukiya. That put on earth a rulership, a monarchy, that is similar to that which takes place in heaven. And he gave you the ability to rule, and the mercy of justice, but meaning that you are adjudicating and doing all these great things. He has such respect for, you could say, machuta, you could either be the Caesar or for the royalty, meaning that you have such respect for the government. Yayivalei Kufa gives him a staff. Amrulei Don Dina. You have permission now to adjudicate it. You have such respect for the monarchy. Certainly, you should be able to judge. You're a person, a good person for this. Sukiyava Nofik. Amrulei Hau Gavra. Avid Rachmana Nisa Lashakre. So this person who's going to be executed by the Roman official now turns around to Rav Shila and says, wait, God does miracles for liars? Because he said, you lied, that I slept with a donkey. I slept with an Egyptian woman, not a donkey. So, Hachim Arle. So, Rabbi Shila responds to him, Rasha, Lav Chamre Ikru? Aren't they called donkeys? Dichtiv. We quoted this puzzle before from Yechezkel, Asher Basar Chomarim Bisaram. That their flesh is like the flesh of donkeys. Here it's referring to the other nations. There it talks about Mitzrayim and other nations. So there is a specific reference to animals in the context of the other nations. So he says that they're compared to the donkey. So what I said was true. Chazid Gazel, the member of the Hu, he saw that this individual is going to go spill the beans to the Roman official and tell him that basically Rav Shila just called him a donkey. The Karinu Chamre, that he called them donkeys, Amar, Hai Rodefu. This person is considered or classified as a Rodef. But Torah Amrai, Balachor Kachash, game or go. Someone comes to kill you, you have a right in self-defense to be preemptive and kill him. Machia Bukufa, he used the new staff that he got, he whacked him with the staff at Katle and he killed him on the spot. The principle of Rodef is based on Ababa Machteret, it's in Parshat Mishpatim. Someone who comes to steal, a thief that comes at night, and he does it by tunneling under the house. He knows when he tunnels under the house that the Balabait, if he discovers him, will not stand there idly, and that he's going to kill this guy who's trying to tunnel into his house. So in going into his house, tunneling into the house, he's going to kill him. The one who's coming to steal knows that he has two choices. That either he's going to meet the Balabait and kill him, or he's not going to meet the Balabait and he's going to be a thief. Now you have a two-sided problem here. The reason that the person who's coming to steal is going to kill the Balabait is because he knows that nobody's going to stand by and watch him steal. So therefore, there's now, his intent when he comes to steal is to murder. And if his intent to murder, you're allowed to be preemptively stop him and murder him. And that's the din of Rodef. That's where we learn out this din of Rodef, that if someone is chasing you, someone who is going to kill you, you can take the preemptive step of killing them. Now, again, that's considered to be self-defense in that case, even though you're preemptively taking the step to stop them. It's a principle in Aloha, has to be used wisely and very carefully, and the term is used very loosely sometimes today thrown around. Oh, he's a Rodef. Right? Rodef has a very specific halachic connotation and it has very far-reaching implications. So it has to be used sparingly and in the right context. So then he goes on, he says, Amar Hobi, Avidli Nisi Behaikra, since a miracle happened to me with this pasuk, V'lachar Hashem Agdula, Darshinalei, let me dorish the pasuk. V'lachar Hashem Agdula, pasuk, Hashem Agdula, what is Gdula? Zuma Se Breshit. V'chenu Omer, Osek Dolot, Anen Cheker, Hashem makes greatness creates unbelievable things. Aden Cheker, nobody can investigate it. Nobody can look into it. V'hagvura yuzu yitziat Mitzrayim shenemar v'yarizel et yad ha-gidola. So I said, B'nai Yisrael saw the yad ha-gidola. So that's talking about the gvura of Hashem in Mitzrayim. And it's interesting that you have here the word Gedola, which is the reference back to Maaseh Bereshit, which many times we talk about the fact that Yetziat Mitzrayim was an affirmation of that which took place in Maaseh Bereshit. Vatiferet zu chama ulevana. Tiferet is splendor, and that is the sun and the moon. Shamdu lo leYoshua, that stood still for Yoshua. Shneamar vayidom haShemesh v'yireach hamad. Right, not far from here, he says Shemesh beGivon Dom v'yireach beEmek Ayalon. Happened Gimel Tammuz, the beginning of the summer period, and many times you could see in that period of time the sun is setting and the moon is already risen. They're both found in the sky at the same time. But Netzach, the victory, Zuma Paltal Sharomi, that is the destruction of Rome, the fall of the Roman Empire. Chenumer, V'yez Nitzcham al Bigadi, sprayed the victory on my Bigadim. But the victory here means the Atid Lavo. We're talking about the Netzach. That victory is the Atid Lavo when Rome is deposed. Behold, Zu Milchemet Nachlei Arnon. Behold, glory, Zu Milchemet Nachlei Arnon. This is the battle of Nachlei Arnon, which we also saw in the Gemara before. Shnir al Kenya Amer b'sefer Milchamot Hashem et Vahev Basufa. That is the Shirah that they sang. Milchemet Arnon is really not fought by anybody but Hashem. Hashem closes the mountain up, and then the Amorites are killed in the closing of the mountain that we mentioned before in the Gemara. Kichol b'shamayim v'aretz, zu Milchemet Sisra. That's the battle with Sisra, Dvorah and Barak, when they're fighting Sisra. Shnemar, it says in Shirat Dvorah, I mean, shamayim milchamu. From the heavens they fought, HaKochavim Misilotam, the stars from their paths. I mean that not only was there a battle on earth, there was a battle min HaShemayim that came to fight Sisra, to take on Sisra. L'cha Hashem HaMamlecha, Zu Milchamet HaMalek. Chenu Omer, Ki Yad Alkeis Ka Hashem Milchama B'Malek. The Kis, or the Kisei Malchutov Hashem, is not Shalem until Milchamet HaMalek takes place. So Milchamet HaMalek is about L'cha Hashem HaMamlecha, that the kingdom should belong to Hashem, that is prevented because of Amalek, and therefore the battle with Amalek removes that impediment. But Mitna say, Zu Milchemet Gog u'Magog, v'chein imwer, this is Minyona Dioma, Hinini Alecha Gog, Nesi Rosh Meshech V'Tuval. Hashem says, I'm going to take you on. Gog, the prince, the head of Meshech V'Tuval. This is the Haftorah, V'chol Omoed Sukkot. This is where we read from Yechezkel about Gog u'Magog. This is Minyona Dioma. L'chol Rosh, even the person who's the head of the irrigation system, he was appointed min hashamayim. Any position of authority, any rosh, comes from heaven. Hashem appoints everybody. Anybody who rises in the ranks or takes on a position of authority, that's always guided by Hashem. Then, matnita, tano, we have a braita, mishmeid Rabbi Akiva, that interprets the pasuk differently. Hashem Agdula zu kriyat yam suf, va'gvura zu makat bechorot. Kriyat Yam Suf and Makat Bechorot, which are the two significant events in Mitzrayim. Anytime we mention Mitzrayim, if you want to give a summary of Mitzrayim, it talks about Kriyat Yam Suf and Makat Bechorot. For instance, in Halal Agadol. Halal Agadol, we say in Kilul Am Chasto, we talk about Makat Bechorot, and Kriyat Yam Suf. And anytime you summarize, those are the two major events that we speak about in Jigbut Tefillin also. When we talk about the Tefillin, it's Zecher to the Yad HaGdolah, the Yad HaGvura of Hashem, also relating to Makat Bechorot and Kriyat Yam Suf. Vatiferet zu matan Torah, the splendor, that is the giving of the Torah. Vanetzach zu Yerushalayim, and Vahod, and the glory is zu Beit HaMikdash. Alright, Tanu Rabbanan, Arode Batei Yisrael B'Yishuvam. Someone who sees Jewish settlements that are built in Eretz Yisrael, Omer Baruch Mitziv Gvul Amana. Blessed be the one who put back the boundaries of the widow. Amana is the terminology that's used in Megillat Eicha to describe Eretz Yisrael, to describe Klal Yisrael after the Churban Bayit Rishon. So as Rashi points out here, Kegon B'Yishuv Bayit Sheni. In Yishuv Bayit Sheni, that's the return. Hashem is bringing back the widow and settling the land of Eretz Yisrael. So that is Baruch Mitziv Gvul Amana. That's the proper bracha for those that returned or settled in Eretz Yisrael.
The Mishnah Berurah, in discussing this halacha, says it might only apply during Bayit Sheni when Yisrael miyushavim betokef ubegvura, so that they have to be a solid base and that they have strength and that they are indefensible borders, which might also apply today. Now, the Mishnah Berurah first writes, v'efshar dafko be'Eretz Yisrael ubizman Bayit Sheni. That's only in Eretz Yisrael and only in Zman Bayit Sheni. V'al bizman hazeh afilu be'Eretz Yisrael lo. Maybe in Eretz Yisrael it's even not, that he quotes in the Beit Yosef. V'yesh mifarshim, kavanat Rashi, da'afilim heim yushavim, atak mo bayit sheni, gam kein mivarchim. that even today, if they're settled, and Eretz Yisrael is settled, then you do make such a bracha. The Rif narrows this down. It says that with the batim we're talking about here are not just regular housing. We're talking about batei midrash and batei knesiot. That the bracha applies not to residential houses, but rather to a beit knesset or a beit midrash. And the Eliyahu says on that it doesn't matter whether it's in Eretz Yisrael or in Chutz Laretz. Either place, a beit knesset or a beit midrash deserve this bracha. Although the Prima Gadin in the end says better not to say this bracha with Shem and Malchut because of the uncertainty surrounding when you should and should not say the bracha.
B'chur Banan, if he sees them in their destruction, Omer Baruch Dayan Ha'emet. Batei Obdei Kochavim Bishuvam, if he sees non-Jewish settlements that are built up, Omer, my assumption being in Eretz Yisrael, then he says, Beit Ge'im Yisach Hashem. House of those that are haughty, Hashem should destroy, pluck up, remove. B'chur Banan Omer, he says, Kel Nekomot Hashem, Kel Nekomot Tofia, the Shir Shel Yom for Yom Revi'i, Hashem should take, Hashem takes revenge, Hashem should bring forth his revenge, and meaning that he took his revenge on the non-Jews had built up in Eretz Yisrael. Ula v'Rav Chista, Ula v'Rav Chista v'Ku Azlei Borcha, they were walking along the way, Tumatu Apitcha d'Bei Rav Chana Bar Chanilai. They came to the door of the house of Rav Chana Bar Chanilai, Nagad Rav Chista broke down, ve'et nach, and he sighed. I'm like, Ula, am I coming? Nach, sighing like that? Amar Rav, ancha shoveret chatzi gufo shel adam? Sigh like that breaks half the body of a person, shenamar? Because it says in Yechezkel, v'ata ben adam he'anach b'shivron matnayim. Let the sigh go with the breaking of your loins, which is the halfway point right on the body. Yochan amar, ku gufo shel adam, even the whole body of the person comes in that, shenamar? And when the people say to you, why are you sighing? Talking about there's going to be news, kibah, benames kolev. Then that news comes, every heart will melt, and the pasuk goes on and on about what's going to happen, and people's legs will tremble, so on and so forth. I mean, the news is going to be so bad. The news that he's referring to is the news of the Churban Abayit that's going to reach Bavel, that the news is going to be so bad, people are going to feel like their bodies have been broken. So here, in the terminology that's used here, the sighing is a result of either pain at the loins or breaking of the whole body. So how could I not sigh here? This is a house that had 60 bakers or cooks during the day and 60 bakers or cooks at night. And they provided for anyone who needed. And he never removed his hand from his wallet to suffer. Because maybe a good poor person will come by, but if I have to run to get my wallet, he'll be embarrassed and he'll leave. He had doors on the four sides of his house to the four ruchata d'alma, the four directions of the earth, like Avram Avinu. His house was open. Anybody entered hungry? He exited when he was full. In years of famine, he used to throw out wheat and barley out onto the streets. Anybody who was embarrassed to come during the day to collect it, he could come at night and take that food. Now all this is a ruin. It's a big pile of dust. How could I not sigh? His house that represented a pinnacle of chesed, how could I not sigh about that its destruction? Amalei, achi amar Rabbi Yochanan, this is what Rabbi Yochanan says, is Ula trying to placate Rav Chista, says, achi amar Rabbi Yochanan, miyom shecharab Beit HaMikdash, nigzer gzeirah batayim shel tzadikim sheyechrevu. That from the time that the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed, Hashem also put out a decree that the house of the tzadikim will be destroyed. Shneamar, boznai Hashem tzvakot, im lo batim rabim l'shama iyu, Hashem says, listen, you know what's going to happen? It's not going to be that the batim rabim, many houses l'shama, will be left desolate, destruction to you. And large and big, wonderful houses will be without inhabitants. And Hashem said that. That's what's going to happen. Part of the Qurban is that the Qurban has a global impact. It's not simply an impact on the Beit HaMikdash itself, but it has global impact. It affects all the batei tzadikim. It affects all these makumot chesed. And that's what we say in the keynote on Tisha B'Av. Part of the keynote on Tisha B'Av talk about the fact that the Churban HaBayit affected the constellations. It has a global implication. It's not just a unique and parochial impact on where the Mikdash was. The future Hashem will return them. Shneamar, Shir Malot to David, Abotchim B'Hashem, Kahar Tzion. Those that trust in Hashem, Karzion, Marzion, Atid, the Kodesh Baruch Hu, Lach Zero. What does it mean that they trust in Hashem? Trust in Hashem, just like Karzion, Atid, the Bo, Hashem's going to bring back, Mount Zion is going to bring back the Bayit, the Shuvo, and it'll be settled. Apatim, Shal Tzadikim, Atid, the Kodesh Baruch Hu, Lach Zero, the Shuvan. So too, the Batim of the Tzadikim will return to their place. And just like in the Korban takes down the Batei Tzadikim, the rebuilding, the return of Tzion and the return of the Mikdash will also lead to a return of the Batei Tzadikim. Chazit lo miyashiv date. So that didn't settle his mind, that it didn't help. Ula tried to placate Rav Chisda and it wasn't working. Samalei, deyol evet sheyekarabo. Says it's enough. He says that the Eved, the servant, can't be any greater than the Rebbe. The Rebbe meaning Hashem. For the destruction of the Mikdash, we have a certain protocol in terms of Avelut. And same for the Eved. You can't be more mournful over the subjects, over the Tzadikim, than you would be over the Churban HaBayit. And just like by the Churban HaBayit, we have a designated time for Avelut and a designated protocol of Avelut, then this shouldn't exceed that type of Avelut. Tan Rabbanan. Someone sees a Jewish cemetery says, Baruch Hashem Yitzar Etchem B'din, V'zan Etchem B'din, V'chilkel Etchem B'din, that Hashem created you, here in din and justice, but rightfully created you, V'zan Etchem B'din, and He sustained you, and V'chilkel Etchem, and He provided for you, V'asaf Etchem B'din, and then He brought you back to your world in a rightful manner, V'atid Akim Chem B'din, and He's going to bring you back to life. Marbury Divina Messiah Ba Mishmei the Rav Nachman, he used to add on this additional peace in the name of Nachman, V'yodea Mispar Kulchem, he knows all your numbers, V'atid L'chayotchem, and He will bring you back to life in the future, L'kayim Etchem, Baruch M'chayei Amitim, and to be kayim with you, that He will bring back to life those that are dead. That's the bracha that you say when you go to Jewish Kvarim. It's a partial Tzidduk Adin, but also a bracha L'atid, that Hashem should bring back Tchiyat HaMeitim. Which if you find in the cemetery, I think in Beit Shemesh, they have it in the cemetery there, they have a placard that's up there that has this bracha on the placard. When you come to the cemetery, it has the same din as once every 30 days. If you go more often than 30 days, then it doesn't apply. But once every 30 days you go, that this is the bracha that one should say when they enter into the Kivrei Yisroel, to the cemetery. On the other hand, Kivrei Ovdei Chuchavim Omer, over the graves of the Ovdei Chuchavim, he says the same thing when he sees them alive, Ochlusa Shel Ovdei Chuchavim, which is Bosho Yimchem. Same thing we quoted before. I'm Rabbi Shuvan Levi. Someone who sees his friend after 30 days, Omer Baruch Shechiyanu V'Kiyamanu V'Higiyanu L'Zman Hazeh. Kishechiyanu on him. Lachar Yubet Chodesh Omer. After 12 months, Baruch Mechayei Amitim. Right, both of these brachot exist. It also points out this is only Daf Chaviru Chaviv Alav. That's a friend that you're close with. It's not you just saw somebody as an acquaintance. That's somebody that you know. It's be somebody that you have a relationship with. If you see them after 30 days, you make a Shechiyanu. After a year, you make a Mechayei Amitim. Amarav in a mate nishtakach min alev el achash nemasar chodesh. The mate is not forgotten until 12 months. That's the why avelut, the duration of avelut for a parent is for 12 months, because the process takes 12 months before the person is forgotten. Shneamar nishkachti kemate milev. I was forgotten like a mate is from the heart. Aiti kli oved, and I'm like a lost object, lost utensil. So Rashi does the acrobatics here to make this work, which is basically what the kli oved, someone who loses a kli, we know the din is that a person has to be machriz. A person has to announce that they found it. The requirement of announcing being machriz is for up to 12 months. After 12 months, he does not have to announce anymore because there's yeush bayim, people give up hope. So just like by the utensils, by the kelim, then there's yeush after 12 months, so too that mate that is nishtakach min alev is also for a 12-month period. And based on that, then we go back to the bracha, which is that you have mechayei meitim. If you haven't seen someone for 12 months, it means that you've forgotten them. It's as if they're not alive anymore when you're away from someone for over 12 months. And therefore, you make the bracha of mechayei meitim when you are reunited. Rav Papa, Rav Huna, Brei Rav Yeshua, Ka'azli Ba'urcha. They're walking on the way. Pagu Bei, Berav Chanina, Brei Rav Yika. Amrei, Bahadi, Dechazinach, Berachina, Nalach, Tarte. The fact that we saw you now, let's make two brachot about you. Number one is, you're a Talmud Chacham, so Baruch Asher, Chalak Mi Chachmato D'Reyaf. And number two is, V'Shechachiyanu, because we haven't seen you for 30 days. Samadu Ana Nami, Kevin Techazintinchu, Chashkivdinchu, Lavai, Keshitin Riv'an Beit Yisrael. So that's what I said to you before. He says, seeing you is like seeing 600,000 of Kalal Yisrael. Baruchin Aleichu Talata. I get you one up. I get you have to say three brachot on you. Hanach Tarte, I'll say the same two brachot that you said. One is Asher Chalak Mechachmatol Riyav, Shechiyanu, and then the bracha that you make on Ochlusa Shel Yisrael, which is Baruch Chacham Arazim. So I'll make that bracha as well. Hanach Tarte plus Baruch Chacham Arazim. Amrulei, Chachimit Kohai, If such a smarty pants, yay beinayu, they took one look at him, v'shochiv, and he died. It's a difficult Gemara, no question about it, but it seems there was some sort of one-upmanship in his response to them. That they had said they made two brachot, and he asked, I'll make three. And that one-upmanship was considered to be a lack of proper kavod for these Talmid Chachamim, and that's why they looked at him in a negative light.
Others suggest that's because he made a bracha lebatala, he shouldn't have made the bracha without 600,000 of Uchlosei Yisrael. Either way, it's a very difficult Gemara because none of those actions are deserving of death, and he ends up dying because of that incident.
Alright, I'm Rabbi Shulman Levi. Haroyat Bahakanim, so that's from the word Bohak. Bohak in the Torah is talking about in Sarat. Bohak is a white, something that is white. Ravir means freckled or spotted. Omer Baruch Mishne Briyot. That is Hashem, one who is makes unusual creations. Mishune can be from different the derivative of the word. It can mean to be different, or it also can mean unusual.
Right.
So here it could mean both. I don't think it's necessarily either one is incorrect. It makes unusual creations, but it also he diversifies, meaning that not everybody's the same. Meitve Ra'at Akushi. You see, is Akushi someone who's black? Rashi says it's very black. Ve'et Agichur. Someone who's red, reddish, and again, very deep reddish complexion. Ve'eta lavkan, that's an albino. Ve'eta kapach, someone here, it sounds somebody who's very obese. Rashi describes it as that his width is greater than his height. Ve'eta nanas, a dwarf. Ve'eta drikinas, drikinas sounds like a giant. Someone who is unusually tall. Rashi says, rodish lashon acher piv akum. Amar baruch mishneh et abriyot. So there he makes that bracha. Ve'eta kitea, ve'eta suma. Someone who is an amputee, someone who's blind. Ve'et tuye harosh. On the side, the Aruch brings perishmeisha in roshos galgal al rachva. He doesn't have a rounded head, he has a flatter head. Rashi says, shesaro kinamta asaro davuk zebeze, paltir. He has some sort of matted hair, flattened hair. Ve'ta chiger, someone who is lame. Ve'ta mukeshchin, someone who is infected with boils. Ve'ta bahakanim, again these bakanim, which are the spotted freckles. Omer Baruch Dayan Emet. And he makes the bracha Baruch Dayan Emet. Now, Lokasha. What's it? Here you have an overlap between the two brightot. And the overlap between the two brightot, one of them, Bahakanim, we said, says Baruch Mishne Briot. One time we said the Bahakanim is Baruch Dayan Emet. Where it says, no, it's different. Hami Meimo. It depends if it's congenital. Hadar Batar De Itilid. If it happened after he was born. And if it's congenital, then it's Mishne Briot. If it's something that happened later in his life, then you would say Baruch Dayan Emet. Because it's bad news. It's something horrible that happened to this individual. Dekanami diktani dumya dikiteya. Because it talks about a kiteya there, and a kiteya is an amputee. And the amputee is something that happened later in life. It wasn't a congenital, but something who lost their legs. And the Rashi talks about over here, kiteya depends on the context. Over here, kiteya means that he lost his arms. Usually kiteya means that one lost their legs. Over here means they lost their arms. Because in the context of chiger, the word chiger is used, and kiteya means loss of arms. Kiteya by itself, standalone, means a loss of legs. So here in this context, since it says chiger and it says kiteya, the kiteya here means loss of arms. But anyway, kiteya is something that happens later. That's not a congenital item, that is something that happens to someone. If that's the case, the bracha is over something that happens afterwards. Tana banan. Haro'e pio kof bikipuf. Someone who sees an elephant, a monkey. Now here it says kipov. In the past we had the word kipod in the Gemara. Now it uses the word kipov. Kipov is like a vulture, or if it's akin to what we saw before, then it's the martina, long-tailed monkey. Whatever, these are unusual birot. Omer baruch meshanet abriot. So again, it seems here that means unusual rather than diversified here, because these elephant and the monkey, these are unusual types of animals, not that they're diversified, I would say. So ra briot tovot, vilanot tovot. Someone who sees nice creatures, creations, beautiful trees. Omer baruch shekachalo bi'olamo. Blessed that he made his world in this way, with all this beauty. Alazikin. This next Gemara is extremely difficult. I'll do my best to work through it. It's got to do with astrology, constellations, and we'll translate it, and I'll try to give my best interpretation of it. My zikin. What is zikin? Zikin is some sort of shooting constellation, shooting star. So Shmo is kochva deshavit. If you translate it literally, it means a shooting star. But otherwise it's a comet, a meteor, or something that moves along the skyline and leaves a trace of white dust behind it. So it could be any of those, comet, meteor, shooting star. Varmar Shmuel, Nihirin li shvile deshmaya, shvile denarda. I know the paths of the constellations of the stars, like I know the paths of Narada. I know astronomy so well that I am as familiar with the stars as I am with the streets in Narada. That I don't understand, because obviously it's out of place. Kukhva deshavit is not a usual occurrence. I don't know what that is. And we have a mesara delo avar kisla. It will not pass Orion. V'avar kisla, if it passes Orion, charav alma, the world will be destroyed. V'aka chazina da'avar, we do see that it passes Orion, and so why is it the world destroyed? So one answer is zivehu da'avar. Its brightness passes by. Umitchazek da'avar. It looks like it's passing by, but it's not really passing Orion. Da'avar ihu. It looks like it's passing, but it's really only its light that's passing by. Rav Huna, Breid Rav Yishua Amar, vilon hu dimikaro. Now, this is a difficulty. The question is, what is this statement of Rav Huna coming to modify? It could be that it's modifying the Mishnah before, and it's explaining what Zikin are in the Mishnah. That's why Rashi reads it. Tosafot says, no, it's explaining this problem with the Kochba Deshavit, that it passes by Orion. So it's one of those two. It's Vilanu Demikra. It's tearing. According to Rashi, what's the Zikin? Is that it's tearing the cover of the Rikia, Megalgal. They believed in their day that the earth was stationary and that the stars were moving, and it was a galgal. It was a circular dome, and that dome rotated around, and that's how the stars moved through the season. And during the different seasons, why are the stars in different locations? Not because the earth was moving, but because the galgal, the sphere of the dome, was moving. So this dome is being torn by whatever this item is. And because it's tearing it, therefore you can see the light of the rikia above it, behind it. The dome is being torn, and then you can see that which is behind it. So that would be the explanation according to Rashi of Zikin, and that's why you see these stripes of light. And according to Tosafot, it's an explanation for why this comet, or this moving item, looks like it's moving past Orion. It's not because it's literally passing Orion, but because it's tearing the Galgal, and it looks like there's light bursting through that looks like it's passing it. Rashi Amar, Kochbahu de'akar mihai gisa de'kasla, v'chazilei chavrei mihach gisa. It's a star that moves from one side of Orion, jumps to the other side, umivit, and the other star gets afraid, umechse kemandavar, and it looks like it's passing by. So it's not really passing Orion, it's just, it looks like it's scared and moving, but it's not literally passing Orion. Shmuel Ramiktiv, Sukrim say, Ose Ash Ksil Vikima. Hashem will make the constellation. Ash is the bear or Ursa Minor. Ksil is Orion. Vikima is Pleiades. Vikhtiv. But the other pasuk says in Amos, Ose Kima Uksil. Pleiades and then Orion. So it changes the order. In one case, Orion comes first, and the second time it comes second. Haketze, what's that? Ilmalei Chamashel Ksil. If it wasn't for the heat of Orion, the world would not survive. Because of the coldness of Pleiades. If it wasn't for the cold of Kima, because of the heat of Orion, they balance each other out. If it were not for the tail of the scorpion, the Marach Benar Dinor, that was inside the river of Dinor, Kol man da'ava trika le akrava. Anybody who was stung or bitten by a scorpion, lo ava chaye, would not live. Behino de kamer le rachmana de Iov, and that's what Hashem says to Iov. Hat kasher ma'adanot kima. Did you bind the chains of Pleiades? Pleiades is made up of seven stars that are very, very close together. So did you bind them together? Did you put them together? O moshchot ksil tepateach. Did you loosen the bands of Orion? Orion is a belt of Orion, is three stars that are far apart. So did you loosen them up or did you bring them together? That's the reference over here. The Akrava, which is Scorpio.
Or Sagittarius.
Which is also a fall and autumn
constellation.
And our Dinor, in the constellation, there's something called River of Dinaris, which might be what this is referring to.
Or some suggest it's referring to the Milky Way.
Now, my kima. What is this kima that we're talking about? This Pleiades. Amar Shmuel, kemea kachve. It's made up of 100 stars. Amar la dimi kafne. Some say it's 100 stars together. Amar la dimi vajlan. That they're spread out. My ash. What is this bear? This Ursa Minor. Amar Yuda, Yuta. My Yuta. Amar la zanav tle. It's the tail of tle. Amar la resh dagla. Some say it's the head of the calf. Now, that would be right, exactly. That would be Aries, the tail of Aries, and the head of Taurus. That which is afterwards. Aries comes, that's Nisan, and Taurus is Iyar. So therefore, it follows the head of the Taurus follows the tail of the Aries, so that it would be around the same period of time. The Gemara says, makes sense according to one who says that it's Aries' tail, that Ayish will be comforted over the loss of her children, Alma Chasera, that it's missing something. Looks like a, Rashi gives different interpretation, looks like a flattened out tail. Doesn't look like a full tail or a cut off tail. And there's something wrong with the tail of Aries. It looks like it's shortchanged. And so therefore, I don't know how it connects exactly to Ursa Minor, because here we're talking about Ash or Ayish. So I'm not sure how that connects to Ursa Minor to the tail of Aries. But that's described over here. V'ayda Azla Batrua. And it's going after V'amra Leah Havli B'nei. Give me my children, give me my children. The B'shasha Kodesh will be Kesh Lavi Mabul Old Am. When Hashem wanted to bring the Mabul. Tatal Shnei Kochavim Mikima. He took two stars out of Pleiades. When he wanted to stop the Mabul, Natal Shnikochavim Aish took two stars. Now, whether this is out of Aries or out of Ursa Minor, the Satma, and he placed them back at the Pleiades. So why don't he just put the original stars back where they came from? So it's an expression we saw earlier in the Masechta, that you can't refill a bore from that which is taken out of it. It never suffices to put it back. Or inami tegor nases negor. Now they became the prosecution, they're the ones who caused the Mabul, they can't be the ones that stopped the Mabul, they can't become the defense. So, create two new stars and put them in there. Once the world is put into motion, there's nothing new that happens. In the future, Hashem will put them back to them. Future, Ayish will be comforted because their tail will be given back, or the stars will be given back. Again, whether that's Ursa Minor or referring to the tail of Aries, it's not clear here. The Mara seems to be jumping back and forth between the two of them. Okay, we'll stop over here.